You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Hello, Marvel Universe, and welcome back to another episode of Earth Station MCU. Tonight we're going to be talking about two episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Since we had a little bit of a break, we'll be looking at Chaos Theory and Many Heads, One Tail. But first, I'd like to welcome back my co-host, Mr. John Raven.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, how goes it with you, sir?
I'm fine. I'm still managing to find a bright spot after the first couple episodes of Jessica Jones.
Oh my gosh.
Not saying I didn't like it, just saying it was like, oh god, this is so dark.
It is very dark, and when you consider the fact that really I don't think they've done anything in the first couple of episodes that you couldn't have on network TV.
No, you could show these things. It's just like they've gone to, at least for the MCU, just the darkest place yet.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, much like Daredevil, but it's, you know, like with Daredevil, the level of violence was such that I thought, I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, on some basic cable, but you wouldn't see it on network TV, the level of violence that they had on there.
Right.
This is just, there's nothing that is, you know, rating worthy. But I absolutely would not show this to... This is like almost like an NC-17 level of dark to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's just going on with how these Netflix series are definitely for adults.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You're not going to see a Luke Cage or Jessica Jones or a Purple Man action figure out on the shelves anytime soon.
Well, they do have Daredevil for Funko Pops.
Well, all right, yes.
So they've got Daredevil in both his regular black outfit and the red outfit, and Wilson Fisk and one other person. I can't remember who the fourth one was. I don't think it was Foggy.
They did do Matt as Daredevil. Well, they've done three. They have three different versions of Matt. Because it's Matt in the Black Ninja outfit.
And then, that's right.
Matt in his Daredevil outfit, and then Matt in his regular, glasses, attorney outfit.
Yep, that's what that was. So, those of you who, I'm sure by the time this gets out, we'll have some of you that have finished it, and some of you who are just starting. So we're going to be waiting until December to do an episode or two focusing on Jessica Jones. But it's fantastic. It's very good. But, you know, as John and I were discussing off air, this is something you got to pace yourself. This is actually the first thing that I have been like, I don't want to binge watch this because.
Yeah, you might want to find a happy place in between episodes.
Go watch a Disney movie in between or something.
Go catch some My Little Pony. It's okay.
Exactly. But fantastic performances. Just absolutely outstanding. Mm-hmm. You know, just.
And I'm sure, like you say, we'll see Funko Pops of these as well. What I mean is just, you know, we're probably not going to see the Jessica Jones action figure in Toys R Us.
Fair enough. That's
except as a Funko
Pop.
That's
very true. That's very true. And I've already got lots of things I'd like to talk about for that, but I want to wait for our audience to get to see at least a few episodes first. So we have had a little bit of other news recently. We've got a release date and a promo for Agent Carter.
Yep.
So that's going to be filling in the mid-season gap for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. again. And it looks good. The stuff that they've released in terms of it being Hollywood, it's looking like there's potentially some romance going on there. It's mm-hmm. Hollywood, so there's lots of great outfits. She already has, there's already a picture of her in a different red hat that I totally want to get.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah, you and all my female friends who cosplay Peggy are just like fawning over the hat and like,
exactly,
I must find this.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, like, they're coming at me going, oh, poor Jarvis in another wool suit.
Well, like, three-piece gray wool suit.
Well, you know, stiff upper
indeed,
lip, you know.
Indeed. But yes. But yeah, it looks good. We've got, you know, some good bad guys coming up, so I'm very excited about that.
Yep. So January 5th.
Yep.
We get more Agent
excellent,
Carter.
Excellent. So yeah, there's going to be lots of stuff coming after the first of the year. We've got some casting news and some casting rumors. I know Michael Douglas is in talks for Ant-Man and the Wasp, and it seems like, I mean, it doesn't seem like he's the kind of person that's gonna, you know, hold out and say, and refuse to come back unless they give him X amount of money, so.
No, he
exactly.
wants to come back, and, you know, with a film career like his, he's made plenty, so he can
do
just,
it if he wants,
you know,
to,
he can write whatever check
right,
he wants,
exactly.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. I definitely enjoyed his character. So that should be fun having Hank back, and I'd love to know more backstory about him as a character.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see if they're gonna weave in any of his background with S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, I'd still love to see like a
right.
1960s S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of show.
Yeah.
You know, just stuff like for example. You know, in the comics, he makes Ultron. But I would love for them to like drop
right.
something in to say that, you know, the plans that Tony was working on were based on something that Hank Pym had developed or something like that. So.
And who knows? I mean, that's always possible. The thing I'm excited about, and I think could work, is of course he's been asked about this, and he wants his wife Catherine Zeta-Jones to
oh,
be
yes.
the Wasp in the flashbacks. And I
she'd
think that
be
could
be great.
It could very much, yeah. And she kind of looks like she could be Evangeline Lilly's
yeah,
mother.
Yeah, she does. She does. That could definitely mm-hmm. work. That would be super cool. And we know. Well, I mean, I guess most of her action scenes in movies are 20 years in the past. But you know, she has done that
right.
kind of thing before. And we've got a couple bits of information about Doctor Strange. Of course, that's in production now, so we'll
yes.
probably continue to have more and more information about that. One of the
yeah, most of our pictures and videos and everything are still like in the Nepal, so we haven't seen any kind of location
right.
shooting in England or Atlanta or anywhere
right.
else.
And I don't think that's scheduled to do anything in Atlanta, but
yeah.
But anywho, we've got what is his name? Scott Adkins. Who's apparently a guy that's famous for doing martial arts has just joined up.
Yep.
I don't think there's been any indication of what he would be playing.
Not really a lot of speculation either. You know, the only kind of main character I would think would be appropriate for a martial arts
mm-hmm.
actor in Doctor Strange's universe would be that of his assistant
okay.
Wong. But I mean, Adkins.
He doesn't look like a
terribly
Wong. Yeah,
Asian.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it could be any number of people. It could be somebody that he meets when he's studying under the Ancient One. We just
yeah,
we just don't
yeah,
know yet.
Exactly.
Until they tell us something, or it could be like when we got the announcements for characters in Age
mm-hmm.
of Ultron, and people were speculating. It could be just minor characters that don't really have a comic
right.
counterpart.
But like I remember with Age of Ultron, we were racking our brains on blanking on her name, but the one that ended up being Hawkeye's wife.
Right,
Linda
Cardellini.
And there was no indication that Hawkeye's wife was going to be in it at the time. So yeah, it's kind of hard to predict.
Yeah, well, that didn't get leaked out until I think premiere announcements
mm-hmm.
basically. Said that she was
right,
Hawkeye's wife.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the clickbait headlines are so annoying.
Yep.
Has been one that says a transparent star joins Marvel movie, and so I'm thinking it's Jeffrey
yep.
Tambor, right? Because he is the star of Transparent, and no, it's not.
Right.
It's Amy Landecker.
Yes, and I'm not as familiar with the show, so I don't know her character.
I don't either,
on it.
But yeah, it says according to the one that I'm looking at, it looks like she is, while the gentleman we just mentioned was Scott Adkins, is still a unconfirmed. It looks like she's confirmed.
So, can you tell us more about that?
It's just we don't have that much information. It says that she's in an as yet unnamed role, and they just sort of list off.
It's kind of the same thing they've been doing with Rachel McAdams.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the rest of this article is just the stuff we already know about Doctor Strange and about the things that she's been in. So as of now.
And it could be something very minor, because look at all the speculation that was surrounding Carrie Ann Moss and Jessica Jones. And it's not her character in Jessica Jones isn't some big major Marvel tie-in. It's like her character's closest connection is with Danny Rand.
Although she is playing a significant character, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe hers is gender swapped as well, right?
Yes.
And we'll get into that when we do our Jessica Jones episode, but I thought that's been interesting the way that they've dealt with that in the show. There was an interview that Bradley Cooper did, and
yes.
It was one of these things where it sounded like, oh, he just gave something away, but I think he was just being an idiot.
That's always possible, and sometimes actors don't know what they can and can't say.
I thought there were...
Because something that might seem quite obvious to them isn't necessarily been broadcast.
I thought that the orbital mind lasers that Marvel has would have taken him out if he'd actually spilled something, but...
No, the snipers is Paul Bettany's
joke.
Gotcha,
okay. Well, he was doing an interview for a movie that's coming out either this weekend or next, I think. And they were asking, of course, about Guardians of the Galaxy. And he said something about how Thanos was going to be the bad guy in the next movie, I think.
Yeah.
That seemed like that was the big thing. And when they were saying, wait, are you sure you're talking about Thanos? And he said, yeah, he said the main guy's dad, right? And the reporter was like dead silent. And he's like, right, like Star-Lord's dad.
Yeah, that part's probably more kidding around, because I don't think it's actually going to end up being
Thanos.
No, I
don't think it is either, but I don't. It's certainly from the interview, it didn't look like he was kidding around. It looked like he was just like clueless. So, who knows?
Yeah, I think we just maybe talking smack. We don't know.
Absolutely.
I would be very surprised if Thanos was his dad, or maybe Bradley Cooper just isn't informed enough to know any better.
He's probably confused about Gamora, and who her dad is. So that could be
right. But of course, it's not really a surprise that Thanos would be the main villain for the next Guardians movie.
I mean, definitely.
Considering that we are building towards Infinity War, we got two more stones to take care of, and we know as of the end of Age of Ultron that Thanos is going out to try to get them himself.
Right, exactly. So another bit of kind of interesting news that's come up. So what we had been hearing was that Scarlett Johansson was the bottom or one of the bottom people in terms of salary on Age of Ultron. But the reports that have just come out are that Robert Downey Jr. made $40 million, which is a lot. But that Scarlett Johansson...
No surprise that he's the most highly paid cast member.
Not at all. But then Scarlett Johansson is next at $20 million. So and the next person after that is Chris Evans at $6.9 million. So that's a big jump.
Yeah, I mean if you look at it, you could take Chris's salary for the movie, Jeremy's salary for the movie, and Hemsworth's salary for the movie, add them all together. And she still makes you could probably add Mark Ruffalo's in there as well, and she'd still be making more than all four of them.
Because poor Mark Ruffalo, according to this, he only got $2.8 million, which is like, wow.
Yes.
That's, and I mean, I guess part of it is just, you know, amount of screen time, and part of it is, yeah. you know, how many other big movies do you have under your belt, and he tends to pick indie movies and things like that, but...
Yeah, Mark tends to care more about making movies, I think, than he cares about making money, but, you know, $2.8 million isn't chump change by any stretch of the imagination, so he's not doing too bad
for
himself.
No, not at all, but they were making jokes in this particular article about maybe that's why Hulk is always so angry, because he makes less than everybody else. So, I do think it's significant, because a lot of people had been, you know, saying that Scarlett Johansson made the least out of anybody, and of course talking about the fact that she's the only woman in it. But the thing is, she's been helming her own movies. You know, Lucy didn't do great, but she was great in it, and of course she had the female lead of the voice in Her, so you know she's got she's pretty bankable at this point. So
oh yeah, definitely. And I think our expectation almost in today's society is that a female actress is definitely making less than her male co-stars, but you know, you turn up the heat like she does, and if you've got really good negotiators, you can get in there and make that happen.
Yeah.
And I think she
Jennifer
does that.
Jennifer Lawrence, I know, has talked a lot about her salary compared to other people's too, but I'm glad to see that Scarlett Johansson did get paid well, although it makes you wonder, because supposedly there was a big delay at one point because Robert Downey Jr. said he was not willing to sign at all until people got more. And good God, how much was Ruffalo getting before?
I don't know. You know, like I said, I think Ruffalo is the kind of guy who's like,
he just
whatever.
Wants to do it,
it's fine. I just want to be in the movie.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was an interesting bit of news. We've also got some Ragnarok rumors. Now is that's the next one that comes out after Doctor Strange? Oh no, no, Guardians of the Galaxy is next after that, right?
Yeah. I think the way it's going, I think Doctor Strange is supposed to be sometime in November, and I think Guardians 2 is in the summer.
And then,
because of course Guardians 2 is being worked on right now, along with Doctor Strange.
Right, and everyone's been posting pictures of James Gunn around Atlanta, so that's...
James Gunn's been posting pictures of James Gunn around Atlanta.
Yes, he has. Indeed he has.
He's not shy to turn on the Instagram.
No, he is not. So that's pretty cool. But Thor.
So keep an eye out, Atlanteans. You may wander into James
Gunn
one day.
Indeed. but they they're now posting some. And again, this is still at the rumor stage. But we're starting to get some information about Ragnarok, and we're hearing. I know I'm going to say this right. Surtur, is that right?
Surtur
from
Muspelheim.
Muspelheim.
I think that's the correct pronunciation.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's basically it's like a hell dimension where it's, you know, all flames and whatnot. And Surtur is a major fire demon who is partly responsible for the bringing about Ragnarok. So not really a big surprise that he would be in this movie.
Right, exactly. Tied in with the whole name of the movie. And then also Hela, do you know how to pronounce that?
I do believe that traditionally it is Hela.
And she's and from
of
Hel,
course she,
right?
Yes, she is basically the head of Hel, much like Hades is the lord of the underworld for the Greek pantheon. She fulfills a similar role for the Norse gods.
And was that that was supposedly where he was in the hot tub time machine scene in Age of Ultron, right?
Yeah, his watery visions not his watery visions, but obviously the visions he got from Wanda, and then later on in the pool.
Because I think I think Heimdall actually says that they're in hell. However, for those of you playing along at home, it is H-E single hockey stick and not double hockey stick. Hell is with one L as opposed right. to two when we're talking about the Norse version of it. But they're also talking about possibly the Enchantress as mm-hmm. as another one.
She may show up. They've also said that Valkyrie uh-huh. is a character who might appear. They'd actually done images of her for Age of Ultron. I think Age of Ultron or Thor: The Dark World. I can't mm-hmm. remember which, but they obviously dropped them and didn't end up uh-huh. using them. So she's also a character that may show up, and of course she is tied to Hela.
Right. Right. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see who they end up having. And of course, Loki's going to be in it. I think that I'll be interested to see mm-hmm. how much he lets the other villains take the stage, though, because it seems like he's playing a long game, and it's not in his best interest to give up the fact that he's impersonating.
But at the same time, we can't spend the entire movie with him as
right,
Anthony Hopkins.
Right, exactly.
We gotta let Tom Hiddleston get out there and be himself.
Oh, absolutely, and be his sneaky, roguey kind of self. So yeah, lots of, yep. at this point, that it's all, you know, speculation, but still, we got a lot of interesting information out there. And yeah, other than that, I mean, yep. the only thing that people are talking about right now is a lot of Jessica Jones.
Yep, and there's one more recent
oh, yeah.
piece of news this week with the you know, all the speculation about what was going to happen with Iron Fist,
oh,
and
right.
they're going to turn it into a Netflix movie instead, blah blah blah. And Joe Quesada has come out and said, no, we're still working on it as a television
right,
show.
Right, they're working on that as
so don't believe everything you read
exactly.
on the internet.
Yeah, they're working on that as a TV show, and they're also talking about possibly having a Punisher spinoff as well. Which is
yes, oh, of course. That's still itself
right,
a rumor.
Right,
so.
But that's and that's something where that wouldn't be happening until, you know, probably after Iron Fist, which we're looking several years out at this point.
Or who knows? I mean, we never knew that we were going to get season
true.
2 of Daredevil before everybody else's shows came
very
on.
True, very true. So that could happen. But yeah, lots of good stuff. So I guess we're going to go ahead and take a break right now, and when we come back, we will have two episodes to talk about of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Hello, my name is Jay Patrick, and that is Adam.
Hello.
Join us for the Adam and JP Show.
Hello.
Available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Hello.
Get it now.
Hello.
Oh, we're just kidding. If you love comics, video games, movies, wrestling.
Who doesn't? These are all great things that make us who we are.
That's true. Then you should join us for the Adam and JP Show. You actually can get it on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Yeah, that part was true.
And right here on the ESO Network.
And adamandjp.com.
Welcome to Myopia Defend Your Childhood, the podcast where every week we put a little bit of your past on trial. Wait, you don't know who we are? Well, fine. First, we take a movie that you like. You know, the ones. The ones the buses always had on field trips.
We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam.
The afternoon animated show tie-in.
Or rewrite history, DuckTales.
Or the ones your parents didn't want you to see, but you watched at a sleepover. So that's the game. The movies are 10 years old and the defendant hasn't seen them in 5. Then we, well...
We're here to talk about The Sandlot. When I was a kid, I wasn't allowed to play with the other children, so this is how I learned human interaction.
Ask them what they think.
Obviously, I remembered your wigs, because as soon as my parents found out that I was deathly afraid of parasites, they were like, let's show her Wrath of Khan.
So, in the end, does your past hold up? Can you defend your childhood? Tune in every Thursday to find out.
Welcome back, Marvel Universe, and tonight we are going to be talking about two episodes. We have both Chaos Theory and Many Heads, One Tale to talk about. So I guess the big thing that we had in that first episode was finding out officially that Andrew was Lash. And so that was not something that everybody dealt with in a particularly good way, but...
Yeah, and you got to do a little happy dance.
I did. I was super joyful when that was revealed. But But yeah, so you know, May confronts him, and I thought it was I thought it says a lot about their relationship that she wanted to talk to him about it personally rather than just, you know, telling Phil and everybody and give him sort of a chance. But yeah, he basically kidnaps her and chains her to a piece of heavy machinery.
Which is a thing that I can't understand. When you're the most highly trained agent probably in the entire building besides Coulson, right, you know, why do you make the rookie thriller genre mistake of confronting the suspected killer on your own?
Well, because, I mean, presumably because she was hoping that if he, you know, if she could keep him in Andrew form and keep him from hulking out, that she could reason with him in some way.
Nah, you always bring backup, I'm sorry.
But yeah, yeah, I definitely would have brought backup.
And it was like, she took the backup and got with, you know, the new human, like, get him out of here. Let me talk to him.
Right, exactly. But that was, and although in that episode we got to see Andrew and Melinda in Hawaii, and it's like she's an entirely different character. She's smiling and she's laughing and she has her shoes off and she's like wiggling her toes in the sand underneath the table, and it's just not Melinda May. So
it's Melinda May, but it's a Melinda May
we don't
get to see.
It's not the one that we are used to seeing week in and week out as being this hard as nails, tough gal kind of thing. So, knowing,
and there's probably not a side of her that we're going to get to see again for a long time.
Exactly, exactly. And so that sort of shows you how different their relationship is and how different she is in a situation with him compared to the way that she is normally. So that's got to be a large part of why she made that particularly unwise choice. But by the end of the episode, when she shoots him, and to get him back into that containment thing, she waits for him to change back to Andrew form and not be Lash, because they were firing guns at Lash and it was just bouncing off of him. So she waits until he's fully back into regular Andrew form, and then she shoots him. And of course we get the line about, how did you know it wasn't going to kill him? And she says, I didn't.
Yeah, and it ends up being, of course, just like Hulk, where, you know, if you attempt to kill Andrew, he turns into Lash.
Right, exactly. So by the time he got knocked back into the thing, he turned into Lash. But and it's interesting that Lincoln has said that he's not going to be able to switch back and forth, that he's going to end up permanently in that form.
Right.
Which, incidentally, does go along with my theory about people of color being more likely to end up in monstrous forms. But anyway.
Yeah, and, I mean, at the same time, Lash in the comics couldn't change back. But then again, he wasn't human to begin with. He'd always been an inhuman. And, you know, this is something that, like, his transformation is something that we've seen as of this week's episode that Hydra wants to encourage.
Right, which, you know, they want to have superpowered people on their side, and they would rather have him as a, you know, a killing machine than as a, you know, a doctor of psychiatry, so.
Yeah, although, I mean, if you're building an army, why do you want to include the guy who's going around killing your potential recruits?
There's that. But then there's also the fact that, you know, depending on what their goals are, if they feel like they can turn him and still have his knowledge, he knows all the ins and outs of S.H.I.E.L.D. He had, you know, very, very high security clearance, too.
That is true.
But I don't know how much of his Andrew brain he can really access when he's in Lash form. So I guess we'll see. And we had another good Mockingbird undercover thing. We'd had the before these two episodes, we'd had the one with her and May going in undercover, and we've got another one with her and Hunter going in undercover.
Yes, and of course, you know, she tries to stay the peaceful route up until the point where that's clearly not possible.
Right, exactly. And I loved Hunter's snarky, antisocial hacker guy. That was.
Yeah, I've been told that's the version of Hunter I have to dress up as now.
Oh, totally, totally, with the hoodie and everything. God save the queen.
Yeah.
And we did, and I'm mixing back and forth between the two episodes, but we did get a fantastic fight between Mockingbird and Mark Dacascos' character, who is not the head of security for S.H.I.E.L.D. It looks like he's the head of security for Hydra.
Yeah, he's the head of security for Hydra, and he's an Inhuman himself.
Well, yes, Inhuman or in some way enhanced or whatever.
I think that clearly pretty much made it apparent to the audience that he is, that his powers are inhuman in nature.
Yeah, I think you're right. But he's got...
Yeah, he seems to have kind of be like a little magnetism thing going on there.
Yeah, I was thinking it was a Magneto kind of thing with the ability to, you know, pick up and fire guns in midair and things like that. But I would have assumed that Bobby's batons would have been metal. I guess they're not. But they've also had a significant Maybe. Upgrade in that she can boomerang them now.
Yes. She had the little wrist things on there that she can use to manipulate
exactly.
them.
Exactly. So I hope we get an explanation of Fitz having made them or something like that. That would be pretty cool.
That would be nice. Speaking of which, we've gotten some great development between him and Simmons in the last couple
Absolutely.
Episodes.
Absolutely. And in the first episode, there was just a lot of angsting and staring out the window and... You know,
yes.
stuff like that. But that was when he figured out that the patch that Will has on his uniform, which looks like like the space shuttle, basically, if you turn it
right.
around, it looks very similar to the ram's head design that the cultist had in their castle.
Yes, and then we come to find out, as they put the images side by side of each other, over time that developed into the Hydra logo.
Exactly.
So this is the original. So that same cult that we saw in the flashbacks is
right.
Hydra, or some form
right,
of Hydra.
Right, exactly. And it could be an offshoot or something, but yeah. And then we later see that. Now, what is Powers Booth's character's name? Do you recall?
Let me see. It's I wanted to say it was Gideon.
Oh, Gideon Malik.
Malik.
That's it. Yes.
Yeah.
Malik has a piece of the obelisk and shows it to Ward,
yes.
shows it liquefying and then freezing back up again. So they know all
yep,
about
and
that.
And there are multiple, pieces of it. You know, so this is probably just not the only
right,
one.
Right, exactly. So there's hope that there could be another one out there. But yeah, and it's starting to sound like. While they were sending, you know, all of this equipment along with them and everything, it sounds like it was like almost like a sacrifice.
Yeah, it was another sacrifice to this death god inhuman guy.
Yeah, and I'm curious. Do you have any theories on, you know, because Gideon Malik mentions that there was like the greatest of all inhumans or something like that was exiled to this planet. Any idea of who you think that would be?
There's one character, and I believe he's referred to as the Unspoken.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about the idea of it being like
yeah.
some kind of a death figure as well.
Yeah. The Unspoken was in comics, and this might be who it is. He shows up in Mighty Avengers in the
mm-hmm.
comics when Hank Pym is leading that team. But the Unspoken was a previous monarch of the Inhumans
mm-hmm.
Before Black Bolt, who's the current monarch, overthrew
mm-hmm.
him. So it could be, in fact, that you know, maybe they're the same character. At least that's the first thing
mm-hmm.
that came to my mind. Or he could be somebody completely
right.
different.
I was, and still to some degree am, skeptical that there is something out there other than, because the whole idea that Will was saying, oh, there's a monster out there, but we never actually really see the monster. And it seems plausible that he could have killed those guys.
Right.
So the idea that there's something out there that drives you mad, well, at least, you know, we've got Gideon Malik, indicating that might be true.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that would mean that if the Ram's Head quasi-Hydra people were aware of that, then, you know, it takes it from being a mission of exploration to being a sacrifice that they give it every year. So that will be interesting to see what they end up doing with that.
Yeah.
And speaking of Malik and Ward, I gotta say, I'm really liking what they're doing with that, because I think that, you know, Ward is great, and I was looking forward to seeing, you know, Ward become the big bad and everything, but Ward is still, you know, he's very powerful for what he is, but it doesn't seem like he's really on the same level as the previous leaders of Hydra. So I'm glad to see somebody giving him a run for his money. And Gideon Malik definitely seems like somebody who is just as crafty as Ward is.
Yeah, I mean, we know he was one of the leaders of Hydra and one of the ones who managed to escape the combined Ward Shield purge. And of course, now we know from this past week's episode that that is in fact him who was on the World Council in Avengers.
Yes, I'm glad that they finally did confirm that. That's kind of what I had assumed, because why use the same person in a role that's similar? But yeah, we have confirmation of that now. And we should also go into the fact that we now have, it's still not 100% clear on who knows what with regard to what the Rosalind's group, what their relation is with Hydra. Because in Chaos Theory, we ended the episode with the oh my god moment of Rosalind and Phil basically
getting
dressed the morning after and going out for breakfast.
I wanted to say that, you know, that's the thing where I think I was proven right with my friends arguing about me. About how could Phil do this? I'm like, he's playing the honeypot.
Yes,
watch.
Yes, exactly.
And it was
exactly.
It was exactly.
Yeah,
that
was, there was a lot of arguing about, you know, oh no, Phil has fallen for her charms, and I'm like, he's a spy. He is the spy. I am.
Yeah, I mean, and even said that in this episode or in this past episode that
he's cold to her.
Any. He's, spy that doesn't have trust issues
young
is either
dead.
Young
exactly.
or dead.
Exactly. And he was ice cold on her.
Yeah, which seems like that's probably put the nail in their relationship.
I think it probably has. I think it has. But you never know. Spies are also crazy. So it is certainly looking like she did not connect it as being related to Hydra. Now, how much did she know in terms of what they were doing with the Inhumans? That's still a question mark right now.
Yeah, because and it was one of those things once they got into that confrontation between her and Coulson, and her reactions kind of tipped me off that maybe she really doesn't know what's happening, what is really happening.
Yeah, I mean, she was
because even she says to him that before all this, she was just in the regular spy game. She didn't deal with all the
supernatural stuff,
all the weirdness. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so it seemed she was fully expecting that when Bobby and Hunter went to the facility, that they were going to find Andrew. And all they found was a room full of fish oil pills.
And of course, the secret then becomes out that Hydra isn't trying to keep a rep on this. Hydra is trying to make more.
Exactly. That they're telling all of their employees that they have to take fish pills, and then there's a room out back full of plastic bins of employees that didn't make it.
Well, I mean, no. Well, it's the shells from after they've fallen away and metamorphosized into humans.
It could be that too.
Because we did establish at the beginning of the season that just taking the fish oil pills, if you're a regular human, isn't going to kill you. Although if you're an inhuman, it will transform.
Right, right, that's right. Yeah, I was thinking of Trip there, but I guess that's a different story because he was exposed to the raw juice for that.
Right.
But
And of course, by the time it gets to the fish oil pills, it's been diluted right. enough that it doesn't hurt you
exactly.
if you're human.
Exactly. But yeah, so we see that after May got Andrew into the containment unit, and that was brought over to Rosalind's people, it got shipped somewhere else. And we see Gideon yep. Malik and then Ward come in and have a little chat with him. And that's where we see that they're trying to provoke him into going into lash mode. So that's a thing that's happening.
Yep.
Indeed. And we started talking about Fitzsimmons there, but to get back around to that, all the shippers, mm-hmm. I'm sure, were jumping up off of their couches and being happy because we did get a smooch.
Yes.
Finally.
Yes. But, of course, this being a Whedon show means it's going to be a while.
Well, there's that, and there's the fact that immediately before that he had said, "Do you love him?" And she's like, "Yeah, I kind of, yeah." And then he kisses her.
I think it was more like, I don't know, you're putting me on the spot here, I think I
do. Yeah, exactly. It seemed like she was, you know, she was saying, yeah, I kind of do love him, but then he, you know, smooches her, and yeah. I don't know.
And she
does indeed smooch back, yes. It is mutual. It'll be interesting to see because obviously it looks like we are moving towards them actually going back there. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with it.
Yes, indeed.
And we've had some good Daisy and Mac Secret Warriors mm-hmm. team stuff going on too. Which has been pretty cool, and I love that they're finally getting back around to Daisy having hacker powers, because basically
it does come in handy every once in a while, but just doesn't, we don't see it as
exactly,
much as we used to.
Exactly, you know, and that just seemed like that was something they had almost dropped after the first season. But she talks Hunter through how to do all the talkie talk when he's playing his super hacker character guy. So that was pretty cool with that. And mm-hmm. and then we had it was interesting that when they were picking teams for going to investigate that, May picked Lincoln, which was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, even the Lincoln who was like, "Oh God, she's going
to
kill me,"
right,
or something.
Right, exactly. And it turned out, you know, and obviously, you know, that's a very complex situation because. You know, of her feelings for Andrew and his wanting to kill Lash, who had killed his friends. But in the end, she ends up apologizing to him.
Yeah.
So.
And, I mean, it's nice to kind of have him fully on board
yes.
now. Even though, you know, especially showed up in Chaos Theory, where he's still, as an agent, very green.
Yes.
And kind of the, I'm not following protocol, I'm going to go get Lash
exactly.
on my own.
Exactly.
No, you don't.
Yeah, and I mean, that's he's not trained as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent at all at this point. He's just this, you know, inhuman that we picked up along the way who's a buddy of Daisy's.
Yes, speaking of shippers, you know, we still got to figure out what's going on with them.
Indeed, yep. Which, who knows, there's a comment in there about, so are we good just because we kissed? And they're like, yeah.
Are we a thing?
Oh.
And she's like, I
yeah,
don't know
yeah,
yet.
Exactly. She's playing it cool. Mm-hmm. So there's that going on. There was something there, and then it flew away. What was that in my brain?
That tends to happen.
I know,
to me.
Right? So what else is there going on?
I think we've covered most of the important stuff at this point.
Yeah. I was thinking of something with Lash, but so where do you it's hard to say with this because we're back to after having that one episode that only had one plot line, we're back to having like it seems mm-hmm. like six or seven different things going all at once. I mean, it's hard to even say what do you think is coming up in the next few episodes because, I mean, I don't know.
You know, I think we're definitely going to be building more towards a confrontation with Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D. over the Inhumans and wherever the ACTU is really doing. And what was his name? The security guy that they thought was Lash for a bit.
Oh, yeah. I know the one you mean. The thug. The ATCU thug guy.
Give me a second. I'll find it. Because I know he was in this episode.
And I know they mentioned his name.
Yeah. And IMDb is not helping me at all. Banks. Yes. Yeah, because of course, now we see Banks, of course, we know he's not Hydra. He is loyal to Rosalind. Mm-hmm. And was even, you know, helping Hunter and Bobby escape.
Right. Although the ACTUs, they've got quite a facility there. When they go to pick people up, and they end up having like this giant helicopter bay that just opens up. That tells me that that's Hydra money, not U.S. government money.
Could be, or you know, secret government money. True. We don't know.
But so we'll definitely see that going on. We'll see, you know, Ward continuing to wrestle things out. Oh yeah, that was one of the things I wanted to say. Oh my God, Ward jumping out of the airplane.
Oh yeah. That was like, oh yeah, thanks for flying Hydra.
That was just the weirdest thing. I mean, it's I know that he's on a low budget, not having a whole lot of funding himself, but really, that was the best way to get there.
I know. You can't rent like a private charter flight or something.
That seemed a little bit crazy, but
it is Ward.
But it's Ward, and he probably thinks that's fun, just messing with people. But yeah, Gideon Malik definitely was not he was definitely making Ward work for it to get to to prove his worth there. So
it's like, yeah, it's like, well, I clearly can't kill you, so let me incorporate you into my plans.
Indeed. Yeah. And it'll be neat to see see whether or not any Hydra remnants pop up in Civil War, and things like that. So,
yeah, I mean, we still need to know how this is going to end up playing out and how things are going to tie in. Because I bet it's going to be a lot like last season, where we kind of get this storyline wrapped up by Christmas, or at least left into a place where we can pause
I think we're going to have to, we've got what. It's only like another, because I'm pretty sure it's not on next week, right? And then it's back on the first week of December, and then I think it only has two more episodes until the mid-season finale.
Yes, because God knows we need to get in a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving before Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. But they're gonna have to wrap things up for the mid-season finale pretty soon now, and then. We'll have Agent Carter, and then it'll be back in the spring, and usually it goes for, a month or so, and then whatever the May movie is comes out, and they've got a few more episodes to wrap up S.H.I.E.L.D. after that. I don't know if they're going to... I'm assuming they're going to hold off on the big showdown with Hydra until the second half of the season. I don't think we're necessarily... thinking about the coming next week stuff, it definitely seemed like Phil and Ward would be facing off, so we'll see.
Yeah, we could see a confrontation eventually, I think.
Yeah, it's just a matter of whether it happens
obviously
before,
Roz is not gonna
before
be...
or after the break.
Because obviously Roz is not going to be terribly happy that she's being lied to about all the work she's been doing.
Right, exactly. And then it'll be interesting to see what happens, if there's a split within her group, or if her group just sort of gloms on to S.H.I.E.L.D. or what happens. Mm-hmm. So yeah, a lot of interesting stuff going on. So I guess, unless you had any final thoughts before we do, now do you want to do one rating for each of them, or just do one rating for both of them?
I think it's going to be the same rating
okay,
for both.
Okay, fair enough. So on a scale of 1 to 5 shields, 1 being not so good and 5 being best episode ever, how would you place these two episodes?
We're going to go with a 4.
Sounds good.
I think they've been good. They've been ratcheting up the tension. They've been dropping the Easter eggs, tying into each other very well. You know, these episodes haven't been really lacking, as my friend Dan at the comic book store has said. You know, each episode's better than the last.
Yeah, I think I'll go with a 4 as well. You know, it's just good solid episodes. Nothing that has made me jump out of my seat. There was, you know, we had a couple of episodes in a row where Andy Castiger, the guy that plays Fitz, was just, I mean, like, he would have one scene that was, you know, a minute long and just steal the entire show. But there hasn't been, you know, we just haven't had that, the opportunity for that kind of intensity in the last few episodes.
I mean, this has been his best season so far.
Without a doubt. He's just phenomenal. We haven't had the same level of intensity, I think, the last couple of weeks as before. But, you know, good solid stuff. I'm pleased to see Mark Dacascos getting to do some fighty stuff. So that's great. I'm glad we've got, you know, May and Mockingbird back, because when they were both sidelined, we were a little light on the fight scene mojo. But I'm glad to see them both back and fully in shape. So that's a good thing. All right, so we're not 100% sure exactly what the schedule is going to be with the holidays and everything. We know we've got a mid-season finale coming up at some point in the next couple of weeks, but
apparently the episode listing schedule is level 10, and we're only at level 9.
Exactly. So we will definitely keep you guys posted, but on the times when we do not have any Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to review, we're going to be giving you some Jessica Jones reviews. So you will have lots of good stuff to look forward to, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Earth Station MCU's logo is by Mr. Mike Faber, and our show is produced by me, Jennifer Hartshorn. We would like to thank all of our listeners and all of the online groups that let us promote our episodes, including Marvel Cinematic Universe, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Cosplayers, Welcome to Level 7, the DragonCon American Sci-Fi Group, the other Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Metro Atlantic Geeks on Facebook, as well as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's MCU, and Marvel's Agent Carter on G+. Visit our webpage at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com or join the conversation on our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.